So last time we started discussing the question of the Isser Lehazik, right? Is there actually a prohibition to damage? It's sort of hard. You look around, there's no obvious source that says, not that if you damage something you have to pay, that's pretty clear. That Parshas Mishpatim is pretty clear on that point. But is it actually prohibited in the first place to do it? Or if you say, you know what, I'll break your wall, and then I'll pay you. Did I do anything wrong if I did that? And I think we said our intuition was that seems like it should be prohibited. It seems like that's clearly something wrong to just, willfully break your neighbor's wall or something like that, even if you're going to pay for it. But it's hard to pinpoint the source. And last time I summarized this on the top of the handout. Last time we saw five different suggestions that were very general sorts of isurim. The suggestions being lifnei iver, lo sitein michshol, right? Don't place a stumbling block in front of the blind. In this case, that could literally be that, right? A boar is a, or something in the Rishus HaRabim is a literal stumbling block, or even if it's not, even if it's just your ox sort of running around, still, that if you have a broad definition of lifnei iver, as many do, including giving bad advice, the Rambam says, so that presumably would include having mazikin running around. And a second possibility, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, love your fellow as yourself, which some take in an extremely broad way. The Rambam has a whole list at the beginning at Pilhus Abel Perek Yidal, a whole list of positive mitzvahs that involve v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. And we saw the suggestion that nezek is also falls under that, right? You're not being a good neighbor. You're not being a loving neighbor if you allow nezek to happen. V'chei achicha imach, that your brother, your fellow, should live alongside you. Well, if we're going to be neighbors, there have to be basic rules. There has to be basic controls. And allowing your ox to run wild isn't being a good neighbor. Again, on that broad definition. V'asisa yashva tov b'nei Hashem, we saw the Ramban, that this is really a very, very broad principle. Anything that people wouldn't appreciate, that you are responsible for, that falls under V'asisa yashva tov. And the Ramban actually says, by definition, this is a catch-all. For all the things that the Torah couldn't legislate, what fills in the gap is V'asisa yashva tov. And then the final category we saw that may or may not actually apply in a direct way is the mitzvah of Dinim, one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Dinim, the Ramban there, says, oh yeah, Dinim includes all the laws of Nezek. And given that we know Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, a Gentile who breaks those rules is punished, it's not just that they have to pay, but they actually get Misa, believe it or not. So because of that, it seems like there's an actual Isser, and if it's Usser for non-Jews, presumably it's Usser for Jews, even though the mitzvah of Dinim isn't exactly a category for Jews. We sort of have our own sets of categories. But those are the five very general sorts of sources that we saw last time. We'll add in one more, source number one here, another general, very broad sort of Isser, the Shut HaRush here. And he mentions, V'amidaktik perek lo yachbar shiru chamim v'chol davar davar lefi ma'ashe ra'ui, Lehazik, right, the different amounts that there are penalties, depending on how much nezik there is and how much you need to distance it. Jumping ahead a bit, kiditnanu marchik min nitiyosav shel chavero uminiro b'chdesh lo yazik. You need to distance the various things in your field that might damage from the different the plants and other things in your fellow's field in order not to damage them. Why? What's the source of this obligation? Ki darchei darchei noam v'chol nesivo se'ah shalom. But the idea of the Torah, its paths are pleasant paths, and they're paths of peace. So because of that pasuk, the Torah is supposed to be, it's supposed to create a pleasant life, right? If the Torah allows for a life where there's public nuisances all over the place, that's not Torah the way it's supposed to be. V'ekpira Torah, shalo yasa adam esok shalo, davar ha-gorim hezek l'chavero. You shouldn't be able to do in your yard, right? This is also touching on the first couple of prakim above Abasra that we saw a little bit last time. You shouldn't be able to do things in your yard that damage your neighbor's yard. Right? Even if it's, I'm just planting a tree here, but the roots are going to affect the neighbor's field or similar types of things. That goes against Derachei Adarchei Noam. If it causes damage to the fellow, V'amr Chachamim Shelechol Davar Moel Chazaka Milvad L'Nezikin Gedolim. And in fact, we sort of have a stronger standard here than in general. Usually we have this idea of chazaka applies, right? You can assume there's a presumption that this won't damage something else. And we don't make those sorts of extrapolations in a case of nizak and gedolim. If it's a major damage, as in these cases, we go even more stringently than we would in general. So this is, just to close out our list, this is a sixth very general category of Isser. And what we're going to look at now are more particular categories, not things that apply to the whole Torah. You know, the Torah says to be nice, and among the things being nice is not to damage your fellow. We're going to get more pinpointed sources that touch particularly on Nezek in a more specific way. But first, there's a couple of hands. Yeah. Yeah.
So the other five.
It's not a pasuk in the Torah, right?
Are really Torah. So it seems like it would be a little weaker, probably less than the other five.
Right. It wouldn't. There's no, there's no piyum deoraisa or whatnot because it's only divrei Kabbalah. So it would be a bit weaker. Although, as we said, even the other items on the list, let's say v'hatulirecha kamocha, as we saw in the Rambam in Abel last time. Let's say the mitzvah of bikur cholim. If you're mevaker cholim, if you visit the sick, you fulfill a deoraisa, but the obligation is only derabanan, right? And we said presumably the specific obligation wouldn't be deoraisa, but maybe you'd fulfill a deoraisa in some way, or at least you'd violate, you'd be mevatel the aseh of the absolute kocha. So yeah, it's none of these are like full deoraisas in a chiyuv sort of way, but yeah, this is a bit weaker even than that. Yeah.
Just when you clear, last time we said that.
So last time that was why we said it might not count. We'll actually see that. That'll be one of the specific sources. We'll see. So just give it a few minutes and we'll get there. Yeah. So which of these would you think it's prohibited to damage your own property? Bal tashchis, although that's not on our list, right? So I think things that are bal tashchis, meaning that's sort of like its own prohibition, whatever bal tashchis applies to, which is not, not fully clear. But yeah, that wouldn't be an issue of nezek, that would be an issue of bal tashchis. Meaning, the same thing if your friend is mocha, if your friend says, yes, please, knock down this wall, that wouldn't be a problem of nezek.
Right, maybe.
Although I think by the once you get to that point, you wouldn't really call that the Isser Lahazik. It would be something else. It would be waste, right? Baltashkus would be about waste rather than about damaging something. I think we have that intuition, like in English too, right? You're not like there's a difference between breaking something of your friend when they don't want you to versus destroying something of your own. It just feels like there's something different there. I think Nezek correlates in that way. Yeah, was that their hand? Bernie, yeah.
Supposing you're a great engineer, and I don't know anything about how my house is falling down, and you know that structurally and so forth, that it's going to fall down within the next month or two. You go into my house, damage it, so now I have no choice but to repair the damage. You're doing it for my benefit. Is there an Easter? Does it fall under any of these categories? If so, which category has that?
Yeah, that's interesting. That might be a nafkamina between some of these general categories. Maybe like the more you say it's about v'asisa yashar v'atov or derached derachinom, it's about pleasantness. Arguably, you're doing them a favor, so maybe that would be okay. But I think you could argue either way on that. But yeah, that would be an interesting test case. I think some of the cases we're about to see that speak more directly to the idea of damage, you would have a harder time getting out of those. So maybe that's an interesting nafkamina. I guess we'll. Let's keep it in the back of our heads. We can maybe return to it later if relevant. Okay, so let's move now to a sort of a bit more of a pinpointed isser instead of just these very general, broad ideas that nezek might correlate with something bad overall. A more specific, pinpointed isser of nezek, and we'll start before we get to the specific psukim. We'll look at a few sources that indicate that there is a particular isser. Authoritative sources, and then we'll get to the psukim. So, and this actually is going to it's going to be a Rashba based on Daf Bezim and Bez, which we're not going to see inside today, but we'll look at just source number two here. Ma'o de tamek yipalag rachmana bein tam lemuad hanimi lebitzlusha v'mechuberes ema kula muedesi. The Gemara is a havamina that there would be a difference between tam and muad only if it's karen tlusha, only if the horn of the animal somehow wasn't on it, it wasn't goring directly, it was somehow goring while picking up its horn in some unusual case. But aval b'mechuberes, if it were attached, we would think kula muedes hi. Meaning even if the animal is not warned, it would be more strict, more stringent, if the horn was attached. But this havamina, the Rashba seizes on this havamina. We had this havamina, if we didn't have the pasuk, we would have thought that we're more strict. That tam, in a case of mechuberes, would be like a muad. We'd be more stringent than we thought otherwise. And the Rashba is going to seize on that. He quotes the Gemara, mechuberes imakul muedesi, Kashali, Adaraba, Emakula Tamahi, Lashalim Chatzi Nezek Bilchud. Why say we'd be more stringent than we are now? Why not say we'd be less stringent than we are now? Instead of saying that a Tam would always pay Nezek Shalim in a case of Mechuberes, why not say that a Tam would always pay Chatzi Nezek in that case? So why are we more stringent? He says, the Kola Fuke Mimona, Kula Litoveva Chumrul Nitba. And this is a general rule we have, usually. In the case of Nezek, right, if you damage something, or in all Dine Mamonos, when in doubt, what do we usually say in Dine Mamonos? Safek is? Lekula. Why? Hamotze mechaver levaraya, right? If we're not sure whether I broke your vase or not, so leave things where they are, right? Hamotze mechaver levaraya. And you have to prove I broke your vase in order for me to pay. Usually, says the Rashba, we're mekil, right? Kula letoveya, the person. So why is it different in this case? Why all of a sudden here are we saying we should be more machmir? We should say you have to pay nezek shalim. V'yesh lomar, he suggests the answer, de'adraba b'nezikin sveke dinhu lehachmir ki'isurin. Well, usually in dinei mamonos, usually in monetary cases, default, safek, you leave things where they are, but by nezek, we're more stringent. Why? It's ki'isurin, it's like a prohibition. So now this, As always, when you have a cuff, you know, it's like something, it's always very tricky. When he says it's like a prohibition, what does that mean? It could be the Rashba is saying the actual difference is, since there's an iser lehazik, it's actually prohibited to damage if you damage. If there's a doubt about whether you damage, we're machmir, because it's like any iser, right? Iser doraisa, safik doraisa, l'chumra. Safik doraisa of nezek, l'chumra, and we should make you pay more, even in a case of doubt. That's one possibility. And if you said that, then the Rashba would effectively be saying that there's an Isser Doraisa to damage. On the other hand, how else might we read this? He's saying it's Ki'isurin. He's not saying it is Asumi Doraisa to damage. He's saying it's like an Isser Doraisa. It's comparable. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's not so nice. Maybe it's Asur Darabanan and we want to penalize you in order to scare people away from doing Nezek. I don't know. For whatever reason, we could treat it like an Isser. Without it being a real Isser Doraisa. But at least if we read the Rashba the first way, I think the more straightforward way, we have the Rashba on record saying there's an Isser Doraisa to damage one's fellow, or one's fellow's property. And similarly, the Shita Mikubetzes, again, a different Havamina in our Sugya, right on the Mishnah, really, Hatzara Shaveh, he says, Mash Mahacha Onshin Min Adin Ka Kasuv B'Tosvos. We're not getting into that Tosvos right now. But the whole discussion about Onshin Min Adin, because the whole Mishnah presumes you're making these Kalvachomers, right? You would have been able to learn out this, one of the Avos from that one, but not the other way. That's based on Kalvachomers. And generally, we say, Ein Onshin Min Adin. Usually, we say you can't learn out something that's prohibited based on a Kalvachomer, or at least something that would have a punishment attached to it from a Kalvachomer. So he's dealing with that question, and he answers, V'yesh lomar d'lo palik d'mechiltin lo asila ashmi'inan b'chi of mamon ela b'isser takala. So what he says is, our Mishnah, we thought, right, if our Mishnah was talking about just the chiv l'shalem, that you have to pay after you damage someone's field, then we would not be able to use kalvachomers, right? Because a kalvachomer, this, right, the argument of a kalvachomer never works to punish someone. And paying for damages, he's assuming, is counts as a punishment. So that wouldn't work. But what does the kalvachomer work for? The iser. We learn out from the Kalvachomer, because you can always learn out from a Kalvachomer that something's prohibited. You just can't learn out that there's a punishment attached to it. So what the Shita Mikubetzes here goes on record as saying that the whole Mishnah, this idea of we could have learned A out from B and all of that, that whole logic, he's saying what we could have learned out is the Isser. It's prohibited to have your ox going around goring other oxen, or it's prohibited to have a pit. You wouldn't necessarily have learned out the monetary obligation, the obligation to pay if that happened. That's why we need an extra pasuk. But what he's saying is there's two different aspects here, right? It's not just that when I damage your field, I have to pay. There's another point that it's actually prohibited for me to damage your field, or for me to for my belongings, for my shore, for my pit, for my fire that I started, to damage your field. So again, the Shin Yekubetz is another Rishon we have on record for saying there's an Isser Takala, there's a prohibition to have a public nuisance that damages something else. And similarly, in the Poskim, they also go on record, the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, I think all building on one another. So actually, maybe we'll start with the Rambam, source number 7, a bit out of order on the sheet, but in order historically. He says, Behema Shaisa Roa, O Parsha, V'nichasa B'sadus V'chramim, this animal was grazing, was being shepherded, and it went off track, it went into different fields. We warn the owners up to 3 times, even if it hasn't damaged anything yet, because it's not doing the normal thing. It's going off track. Right? So we warn the owners. If the owner doesn't stop this sheep from grazing in other people's fields, the owner of the field can then shecht that animal. This animal is in my property. It has no right to be here. I'll shecht it, and you can have the meat. It's your meat, but this animal cannot be alive running around a nuisance in my field. Shechita ksheira, right? It has to be kosher. This is your meat, right? You're allowed to do that. Why? Why are you allowed to do that? Why are you allowed to just destroy this person's animal? Because what's the owner of the sheep doing, effectively? Right? They were warned. They didn't remove their sheep from the field. So they're saying, okay, I don't really care. My sheep's going to go around eating your, right, grazing in your field. It's damaging your field. You wanted that grass for your own animals or something like that. I don't care. I'll pay you back for the grass. I don't care. No, that's not okay. And that's why the owner of that field is allowed to step in and stop that and shecht that sheep and give it back. And because it's, right, notice the language here, right? It's usser to damage and pay back. Afilu ligrom hanezik, and even to cause it indirectly, meaning because you're not destroying the field. Your sheep is destroying the field, right? So the Rambam sees that as indirect, as grumma in some sense. And that's also prohibited. So it seems like there's a real isser lahazik, not just to directly damage, but to send your animal out to damage the field to the point that you're allowed to kill the animal. And again, this gets paskin in sources 5 and 6 by the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch as well. He says, Kishem, and the Tur, actually, we should look very closely at the language. We're going to see that be significant in a second. Source 5, Kishem she'aser lignov v'ligzol mamon chavero, just like it's prohibited to rob or to steal or to rob your fellow's money. Kach aser lehazik mamon shelo. It's similarly prohibited to damage his property. Afilu meno nene, even if you don't benefit from that. Kevan shemaziko bein b'mezid bein b'shogeg chayev l'shalem. If you damage him intentionally, unintentionally, you have to pay. Uvilvad shelo yehi anus. As long as it's not anus, that, you know, let's say someone threw you off a building, you fell totally out of your control, that's a different story. That's its own machlokes about onus gomer. Does that help? But putting that aside, what he's very clear about is it's prohibited to damage someone's field, just like it's prohibited to steal. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Is he saying the reason is because it's counted as stealing or not? We'll talk about that in 1 minute, but just we have the Tur on record for saying it's usser to damage one's field. And the Shulchan Aruch as well, in even more straightforward terms, usser lahazik mamon chavero. It's prohibited to damage your fellow's property. If you do damage them, even if you didn't benefit, you have to pay in full. And as long as it's not an ones gamur, like falling off a roof, etc. So we have all of these Rishonim and Poskim on record as saying there is an Isser Lahazik, and it sounds like a specific Isser. And now we need to figure out what's the source. If it's not going to be one of these very, very general sources that we saw last time, what's going to be the particular source with an Isser Lahazik? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if it was an Issa Doraisa, you wouldn't have to have 3 warnings.
Interesting. It would be interesting to look into that Rambam in more depth, but maybe what he's saying is, until 3 times, like maybe it's an aberration, maybe he didn't have a chance, but if you really do it enough times, it's clear the person's doing it on purpose, and then you can take action. Because, right, if you think of it the other way, like, he's damaging your field, so you're killing their sheep, right, you're also taking steps that are usually prohibited. So you want to make really sure that they're doing this in an improper way and not just some mistake. So I think that would be why you need three, but yeah, it'd be interesting to look into that further. Okay, so let's move now to the source, right? The source, a specific source for this prohibition, this Isser, presumably Isser Doraisa, to damage. So we'll start with the Prisha, who's commenting on the Tur in source 5. Remember the Tur, he said, Kishem she'aser lignov v'ligzol. Just like it's prohibited to steal or rob, so too it's prohibited to damage, even if you don't benefit. So the Prisha assumes that he's comparing the two. He says, Midetala Isser hezek mamon chavero. Be'isser degneva v'gzela. Since the Tur was tole, he tied, he made dependent the prohibition of damaging on the prohibitions of robbing, or stealing or robbing. V'lo lamdo me'isser hezek v'chiyuv. He didn't learn it out from the psukim about how you have to pay back if you damage something, right? All of Mishpatim. He didn't learn it out from there. V'chsiv gabe nafshu d'haksiv batorah behedya chiyuv tashlumei darba avos nezikin. Ashor v'abor v'amaviv v'hever d'nizke mamonheim. Right, he left that out. He didn't want to talk about the Arba Os Nezikin, what we have in our Mishnah, right, and all the Psukim that the Gemara is going to learn it out from. He doesn't cite that. V'gam Namar, Maka Behemia Shalmena. If you kill or damage an animal, you have to pay for it. That's another Pasuk. He doesn't cite that either. So why is he not citing these Psukim? Nira, Debalomar, De Yesh Iser Badavar, Afilu Imrotze L'Shalim Lo Hezeko. We see, right, all of those cases, all the cases of the Arba Avos Nezikin or Maki Behemi Shalmena, those are talking about scenarios where you're going to damage something and pay back. If you damage it, you have to pay back. So you might think, as long as you're willing to pay back, it's fine. That's why he needs to come in and say, no, there's an extra Isser, even if you're willing to pay back. Kimo Sheyesh Isser Bezeh Bignebo Vigzela, just like it's prohibited to rob or steal if you're going to pay back. Right? Oh, I'll steal $100, I'll pay it back the next day. That's usser. The Gemara learns that out, right? Mimashikasav lo tignov hu miyusar. It says that an extra time, don't steal. We learn out that even if you're going to return it, it's still prohibited. And the same thing, b'gzela, midichsiv chaval yashiv rasha gzela yishalim. So we have a special sources by both gneva and gzela that it's prohibited to do it even with the intent to pay it back. That's why, says the Prisha, that's why the Tur says that the prohibition is based on Gneva or Gzela. Because, right, if you just had the Psukim of Nezikin, you would think, as long as you're willing to pay back, it's fine. So we need to learn it out from Gneva and Gzela, because there, if you're willing to pay back, that doesn't help you. What does that mean? That means that there's an actual prohibition in damaging, even if you're willing to pay back. It's not just if you damage, you need to pay back. No, even if you're willing to pay back, it's prohibited. There's an Isser to damage. What's that Isser, it sounds like? That Isser is Gneva and or Gzela. It's interesting, he says both. Those are not the same thing. But we'll look at one more source that brings in Gneva and Gzela, and then we'll note some of the possible weaknesses of that view. Yeah.
I know before the fact, you said it's also the Gneva, but after the fact, if it's paid back, isn't there a kapara?
You're saying Gzela, Veheshavis HaGzela, right? That's usher to steal, but if you pay back, you've somehow fixed what you did. I'm not sure that's true. Meaning, if you damage something and then you pay back, in some sense, you fix what you did. That doesn't mean that it's okay. It's still not okay to do it, but in some sense, you've rectified what you did when you pay back. I think you could make the argument that's the same. It's not technically like a lavanita klase, partially because there's no clear love. But maybe, I don't know, maybe according to the Prisha, it would be, in some sense, a lavanita klase, a veheshavis agzela. It's an interesting question. He doesn't get into that directly. Okay, so another source, the Rabbeinu Yonah, also makes this connection between Nezek and Gzela. And it's actually in a really interesting sort of random source. The first Mishnah in Avos, in Pirkei Avos, he says, Moshe kibal Torah misinai u'misara liyoshua, this whole idea of misora, of tradition. So where is he going with this? So bein Torah shebichsav, bein Torah shebal peh. What Moshe gave to Yoshua was both the written Torah and the oral Torah. She'atorah b'feirusha nitna. The Torah is given with its commentary, with its explanation. That's the Torah Shebal Peh. She'im lokein, e'efshar l'meida, l'meida be'. If you didn't have the interpretation of the Torah Shebal Peh, you wouldn't be able to understand Torah Shebichsav. She'rei kasuv lo sigzol. It says, don't steal. V'chol nezikin b'chlal oso alav. And all the nezikin are inside the lav of lo tigzol. Again, I wouldn't have known that. He's throwing this out there in the middle of nowhere, right? When it says, don't steal, included in that is all the Zikin, is our Mishnah, Shor, Bor, Mava, and Hever. It all comes from the Isser of Lo Sigzol. Vein Heina Torah, she Kabbalas Moshe Misbisinai. That's Torah, that's what Moshe got at Sinai. Alpha Pishalo Nichtavu, even though it's not written. So he just says, black on white, what's the Pasuk for the prohibition against being Mazik? It comes from Lo Sigzol. Now there's two weaknesses, possible weaknesses in this view of the Prisha / Rabbeinu Yonah, said it first, of saying that damaging is a form of stealing. What are some of the weaknesses? I think one of them was mentioned.
No acquisition.
Right, there's no acquisition. Usually, like you would think, a central aspect of the prohibition against stealing is taking someone else's money for your own gain. If you never actually acquired it yourself, is that Gzela? Is that Gneva? I would have said no. If you're not receiving it yourself, if you just break stuff, well, that's not the same thing as stealing. Right? You think that central to the definition of stealing is that you are benefiting from what you took. Apparently, these two views, right, the Prisha and Rabbeinu Yonah, would not say that. They would say, no, the primary problem with stealing something, the definition of stealing does not include that you benefit from it. Right? All that it includes is that you are taking away from someone else. They would have to define it that way, otherwise this doesn't work. Right. He says explicitly, Shalom Nene. Right, and he even spells that out. Even though you're not Nene, it's still a problem, right? So it sounds like that's central to his definition of lo sigzol and lo signov, even though that's not at all obvious. So that's one sort of weakness with that view. What's another possible weakness, especially with comparing it to gzela? So usually we have the classical source people apply for the definition of gzela is vayigzol sachanis miyada mitzri. Rashi likes citing this. Talking about stealing the knife from the Egyptian. Forget actually where that pasuk is. But sort of grabbing the sword from the Egyptian and taking it. And that's usually understood. There needs to be a violent action for gzela. Right? Gneva is usually like stealth robbery. Gzela is, sorry, stealth like stealing in private and no one knows. Gzela is robbery. It's more like, you know, using force to take something. And it's usually understood that you need to do that violently. If you just, you know, if you're like, stop by and you say, oh, I'll just borrow this and walk away, that might not be gzela, because it's not really being done in a violent sort of way. And nezek, so that's a question, right? Nezek, on the one hand, is a form of violence, but it's not really, vayigzol zechanes miyada mitzri, you're not really taking, right? So forget about the question of whether you're personally benefiting or not. The nature of the action, it's not, you're not taking something, you're breaking something. It's just a different quality, in terms of what you're doing. So that also, you may have a hard time qualifying with the definition of vayigzol zechanes miyada mitzri. Although, again, you could argue back and say, no, it still is violent. Even though it's a different sort of violent act, it's similar enough to gzela to count. So that's the first of our possibilities, stealing. We see it has a couple of strong backers to it, although one could argue on some of the details. Yeah. Yeah, true. It's just there's a difference between swiping something and breaking something. It's just a qualitative difference, even aside from you benefiting, right? You could say it's gzela if you, right? Yeah. So I think there's room to quibble here, but again, these two, the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Prisha / Tur do seem to say it. A very different direction for the possible pinpointed isser. The basis for our Avos Nezikin comes from Reb Chaim, although it's not published by Reb Chaim. It's published by his students, and I think most famously quoted in the Birkas Shmuel here in source number 10, but also Mipi Hashmua, the Soloveitchik line quoted it, not with the source, but he says the Birkas Shmuel, the student of Reb Chaim, says V'hatzi Dvarei Lifnei Mori V'Rabbi Aschus Yogaleinu Amen Amar. Shehu Omer, so he said, Reb Chaim said, the din divilo yishmirenu havi isura. This is what Reb Chaim said, right? Those are the four words, or five words. The din, and this is a pasuk, right? Velo yishmirenu ve'alav. This is one of the main psukim in Parshas Mishpatim, right? It says you have an ox. If you have this ox, velo yishmirenu ve'u'ad be'alav, velo yishmirenu, right, and then velo yishmirenu ve'alav again later. If the owners don't watch the ox and it damages people, then you get punished. So Reb Chaim said, this language of Velo Yishmerenu is an Isser. It's, which in Pshat in the Pasuk, it's not at all that, right? The Pasuk is saying, if you're warned about this ox, Velo Yishmerenu Belav, and then you don't guard it, then you'll be responsible. Reb Chaim said, no, you have to understand that as a prohibition. It's prohibited not to watch your animal. V'loish v'enu ba'alav, in that scenario of not watching your animal, is violating the prohibition of your obligation to watch it. Bi'ur ha'dvarim, what does that mean? D'lo nemar davka l'inyan chiyuv mamon. These psukim that say you have to pay if your ox damages, that doesn't just mean that you have to pay. Elagam le'inyan she'yechashev mazik v'rasha klapei shmaya. It doesn't just mean that if you don't guard your ox and it damages, you have to pay. It also means that someone who fails to guard their ox and the ox then damages, the owner is a bad person. You are a mazik. You are a rasha klapei shmaya. You're considered, in the eyes of heaven, as a damager, as an evildoer, in a sense, as a rasha, because you didn't watch your ox. Or we have this idea of kofar, that if your animal kills a person, the animal is supposed to die in some sense. That's also based on not watching it. We understand, there's a machlokes, how to understand this idea of kofar, but we understand kofar is based on atoning for the owner. The owner, in some sense, is responsible for the death that his ox caused, and in order to be mechaper, that's why you get penalized in this way. So that shows that you did something wrong as the owner. It's not just that your ox did something wrong, you have to pay to clean it up. You did something wrong for failing to watch it. So too, in all of these cases, if damage happens, right, if one of these arba avos nezikin, shorbor mavev hever, damage, it's your fault as the owner for not watching it properly, and you'll be punished bidei shamayim, aside from having to pay back whatever damage happened. And he continues, we see there's also a punishment bidei shamayim in the hands of heaven, ve'al kein, after patra tamun, we call makom aser v'nenash bidei shamayim. So without getting into the details, there's this rule of tamun by Eish, that if your fire burns something, usually you have to pay, but if it's hidden, what it burns is hidden, is a haystack. And inside the haystack, there's a Michelangelo famous painting, you're putter for that. Because it's tamun, somehow that's exempted from Eish. We're not going to explain why right now. But Reb Chaim says, even though you're putter for paying for tamun, let's say, you know, whatever it burned was not worth anything. It was hay is worthless. And then there was something worth something underneath the haystack, you're exempt. You don't have to pay anything, but you're still nanash. You still did an avera because you damaged this person's thing. Meaning the fact that you're putter, in a mamono sense, you're putter monetarily, does not get you off the hook for the iser. There's a separation between these two things, right? Just like we saw before in the Shita Mekubetzes, that you can learn out the iser from a kal v'chomer, even though you can't learn out the chiyuv l'shalem. Same idea here. You can, in some cases, you can not have to pay, but you still violate the iser. The two are separable. That's part of Reb Chaim's Chiddush. So it's really this novel idea of Eloish Merenu. He's almost creating an iser out of nowhere. Yeah.
Can't you say that by any knas? I think that's above pure compensation. It's chomesh, but four or five times. That's an iser aspect. That's a kaddish maya aspect. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Pure malos. Pure malos means $100 to $100. So it's kind of the same idea here. It's included.
So I don't think Reb Chaim would say that every knas implies that you did something wrong per se. I mean, maybe some yes, some no. But you could say that some knasos exist just as a way of incentivizing people not to do certain things. So I don't know if every knas has to correlate to there being an iser. Probably in many cases it does. Usually there's even a pasuk in those cases. But I don't know if it has to be that way, at least conceptually. I mean, Reb Chaim is only saying this because he found the pasuk, right? If you can't find the pasuk, I don't think he'd be willing to say, well, it's a knas, there must be an iser. I'm not sure he would have to say that, right? Yeah.
With the same, so you're a shomer, mm-hmm. and you violate a shmir or whatever level that is there an iser there? I mean, are you a damager, or are you a stealer?
Right. So it's interesting, the Birgah Shmuel here doesn't go as far as that, right? The next step would be to say, I don't even care if anything happens. You let your shore go wild, even if it doesn't damage anyone, you still failed to guard the shore, right? It's still below Yishmer Renu, so maybe even that should be awesome. It doesn't seem like the Birgah Shmuel is willing to say that, right? He is willing to say, if you damage something and get off on a technicality, you still violated an iser. But he's not willing to say that the loyish merenu in itself, just not guarding the octavina. So presumably, the argument would be the shear, right? The point at which we say you were irresponsible and not guarding the shore is when something actually gets damaged.
So is every technicality an issue? So if you're, if you're a borrower and you're, balavimo, so you're pudge, well, clearly there's no difference in your negligence or whatever lack of monitoring, unus for shore. Are you, would you go so far as saying you're klapishvai, you're required to pay your negligent for money and you're just not paying it by basing.
So that wouldn't be a nizikin issue, right?
No, it's about anything. So obviously, yeah. Any kind of the law that happens not to follow nizikin law is because of a weird thing, but it's hidden. Or,
yeah, it seems like that's what he's saying. If you get off on a technicality for nizikin, you still violated an issue. You're putter in terms of dominoes, but you are absolutely chayav in terms of.
Why is it nizikin? It could be anything.
Because here you have a pasuk, lo yishmeren. Right, there's a difference between you have to pay back. That's based on one set of rules, but there's this overarching prohibition of nezek, of causing damage, of being irresponsible, leading to damage, which is stronger. I think what you're pointing to is this is really stronger than any other rule we've seen until now. All the other psukim people found there's like a direct correlation between what you're doing and the prohibition. Here, you have the prohibition, even if it's to a large degree detached from the results. Now, again, he doesn't go so far as to say that, if you just don't pay attention to your shore, you're fine. Something has to happen for us to say that you weren't shomer, you're shore. But it's the very fact that you weren't responsible that creates the isser, rather than the result that, makes you pay and has the isser attached to it.
The Rambam talked about what it was not happened. It looks like that.
Which Rambam?
Right? Shadayin lo hasika.
Mm-hmm. I think you're making a good diuk. I think, right, because how is this relevant to say it's usher to damage and then pay back? How is that relevant at all, unless what the Rambam's saying is letting your shore walk around, letting your sheep, right, it's a veloyish merenu. I think you're absolutely right. That would be a good proof for Reb Chaim, potentially. You don't have to say that, but that fits very well with the Reb Chaim. Yeah, great. Bernie. Presumably, yeah, loyish merenu, yeah. Okay, you could. There are cases when you could do it with, digging a pit. Presumably, would be equivalent. It's sort of hard to call that veloyish merenu, but presumably, either you would say there's some parallel pasuk or something like that, or at the very least, it's veloyish merenu or something similar. Presumably, yeah. You're saying Adam HaMazik might be different. Yeah, that's probably true. Probably Reb Chaim is only talking about Mamon HaMazik and not Adam HaMazik. What would be the pasuk for Adam HaMazik? That's a good question. I don't know if he's tied to any particular view or he can have a whole choice of things to go with. But Mamon HaMazik, that's the bigger, the harder case, the bigger chiddush is to say that your shore damaging is an isser on you, right? And he even is willing to say that. Presumably he has another isser for Adam HaMazik more directly. Yeah. Right. At one level, that's true. On the other hand, if the prohibition is the lo yish merenu aspect, so would you say that you're shomer yourself, or is that just not the way we would define it? So that would be an interesting question as to whether you could apply that kal v'chomer. Yeah, Bernie again. Right. So without getting ahead of ourselves, I think the Rav actually says a whole lumdus around that. He says there's two different Isurim. One is digging a pit, and one is uncovering a pit. And digging the pit is a different Isur. Uncovering the pit is Veloyish Merenu. So, I think if you follow that, that line of the Brisker family, you would say digging the pit is not Veloyish Merenu. That's something else that's more direct. Uncovering the pit would then be Loyish Merenu. Okay. Were there other questions or comments? Okay, so let's move on to our next category. Again, just keeping track. What do we have so far? We have Lo Sigzol and or Lo Signov, and we have Veloyish Merenu, Reb Chaim's Chiddush, And next, starting from a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Amar Rava, L'chol Avedas Achicha, L'rabos Avedas Karka. So this is the context of Hashavas Aveda, right? You have to return something to your fellow, V'chein Taseh, right? Anything your fellow loses, you have to return it to them. Why does it say this extra anything? What does that include? Even if they're going to lose their land, you have to return their land to them. No, that's weird, because all the examples in the pasuk were metaltalin, something that you can move, that way it gets lost and you return it. What does it mean to lose land? The land is there, it's wherever it is. So what's the case? Amarle Rav Hananya Lirava Tanya de Misayelach, Ra Mayim, Sheshotfin Ubayin, Hareze Goder Bifneim. If you see there's a flood and the water is about to overtake the field, and presumably that would destroy all the crops there. He's about to lose the field, not the field itself, but whatever's in the field, all the produce there, Hareze Goder Bifneim, which seems to mean you have an obligation to build a fence. Right, if you see your friend's field is about to get flooded, you are obligated to protect it, to put those sandbags or whatever around it. So what does that mean? It sounds like there's an obligation. It's Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda doesn't just mean returning a lost object. It means preventing Nezek. Now, do the math, right? If you're obligated to prevent Nezek when it's caused by someone else, that would certainly include Nezek that you yourself are doing or your belongings are doing. So certainly, locking up your ox should be no less your responsibility than blocking out the flood. Right? So that's the Kal Vachomer here. It's Hashavas Aveda, and the Rambam paskins this Gemara, Haroa Maim Shofin Rubayim, Lahashkiz Binyan Chaveri. You see waters coming through. It's going to knock down, he has a house, right? Building is considered like karka halachically. It's going to knock down his building. O Lahashkiz Sadeh, where his field, Chayav Ligdor Bifneim Ulamonam, you're obligated to build a fence and protect it. Shenemar l'chol avedas achicha l'rabos avedas karkao. This seems straightforwardly to include nezek, right? At the very least, you're obligated. You have a positive commandment to prevent your own stuff from damaging your fellow's field. It's no less than your obligation to prevent other things from damaging their field. So this would only give you an assay. This would only give you an assay. But the truth is, you can combine it with other sources, right? If you wanted to say that you have an assay to prevent it, and you have a los assay of lo sigzol or lo yishmerenu, or you know, choose your pick your poison. You can combine it with others, but this itself is just a mitzvah assay. Was there another hand? Okay, so that's the Gemara and Rambam here, and it's sort of hard to argue with it. The only argument would be, I think maybe we were getting a little bit at just now, it's a little weak. I'd say the whole basis for all of the Nezikin is an assay that you have to protect your friend's field. Like, you know, that feels like an extra mitzvah that, you know, maybe you're supposed to do it, but that's going above and beyond. Here, it's, you know, it seems you're not just not going above and beyond, you're actually causing the damage. You think there'd be some, that would in some way be reflected, not just that you're not protecting their field, but that you're causing damage to their field, even indirectly. Yeah. Right, zaken and feel
chodeh. Does that mean your animal could damage?
Right, so that's another good pushback is, what if you're a putter from Hashavas Aveda? Maybe there are exceptions to this. And right, it would be very unreasonable to say, right, your animal can damage because you have one of the pturim for Hashavas Aveda. So that those would be the weaknesses. Not that the source doesn't work, but that it's maybe too weak. Either just being an assay, or not really imputing guilt if you don't do it, or maybe there being loopholes. But it does seem in itself to work, even if it's a bit weak. Moving on to one more, and then we'll have our last one with the Chasam Sofer. The Rambam here in Sefer Mitzvos, and this is going to be a little bit out of left field. The Rambam writes, "Mitzvah Reish Sadi Zayin, Hishes Yiranu Mehis Rashel Batzalas Nefesh Achas Miyisrael." We are commanded not to be irresponsible in saving a Jewish life. Kishenir Ehu Bisakanas Hamaves. Oh, I have said, we see someone is in danger of death or loss. Notice that, oh, I have said, right? Monetary loss. He throws that in there. That also is part of this mitzvah. If we can save them. If someone's drowning in the water. Lishchos. We know how to swim. We can save them. But we don't feel like it, right? I'm not on lifeguard duty today. I won't save them. Oh yeah, goy mishtad lehargo v'anachnu nuchal levato machshavto olichos v'menu nizko. Someone is scheming to kill our fellow Jew, and we know how to convince them not to, or to stop them. And you know, either the murder or even stealing their money. And we don't do it. That's prohibited. Uvahaz hara mehimana lehatzilo. This prohibition against not saving them. It's interesting, a double negative here. But amro yisaleh lo samor al dam reyecha. It's a law, right? There's a prohibition against standing idly by while a person is killed. Dam reyecha, the blood of your fellow. Ukvar amru shemishi yichbosh edus tichalaleu gam kein zos hazhara. This included in this is if you withhold your testimony. You have testimony that would exonerate someone. Instead, you withhold that. They get the death penalty. That's this iser. That's lo samar adam reyecha. You're responsible for their death. Ki hu roeh, and not only for if they're going to die, even if you can save them money. In a monetary case, you can testify on their behalf, and you don't. That also is lo samar adam reyecha. Why? Ki hu roeh mamon chaveru obeid, hu yachalach zero elav, be'amro emes. You see this person's money is about to get lost. You could return it to them, and then you don't. Ukfar bab is inyan gamkein im lo yagiv nasa avono. The other pasuk there, that's in Vayikrahe, among other things, talking about shvuas ha'edus, not testifying if you know something relevant. That's also prohibited. Loshen sifra minayin imatei yodeh lo edus shiatarashay lishtok aleha tamud lomar lo samar al damrei echa. So we include this pasuk and also the drowning thing, etc. But notice how the Rambam mixes together here. Saving someone's life and saving someone's money. Those are both included in Lo Samar Al Dam Re'echa. Where does money come in? Anyone have any thoughts? Okay, right. Some people are more concerned with their money than their life. That's definitely one connection. Oh, if you have no money, is if you're dead. Another connection. Right, those are some. Those I'd say are more midrashic connections, but I think the idea is true. Was there another suggestion? So, and I think part of what's going on here also is the term dam or damim. Right, what does damim mean? It means blood or life, but damim also means money, and not just in Chazal. In Chazal, it's definitely true. Damim means money, not just life. The truth is actually in like just saw this a couple weeks ago in like ancient Semitic languages, also, the word damim means both money and life. And I think the etymology actually is connected, the original Semitic etymology. So, I don't know, there's a lot to think about there. I don't know what I think about that. But for the purposes of this drasha, that it's including both lo samar al dam reyecha, dam in the sense of blood, and dam reyecha in the sense of damim, in the sense of monies. Now, obviously, that's very important for us, right? If it's prohibited to allow your fellow's money to go to waste, certainly it's prohibited for you to be the cause of it through your mama, through your shor or your bor. So in some sense, this is like the lav version of Hashavas Aveda, right? They're very similar. You could say, you know, if you wanted to very much focus on this, you could say there's an asay of Hashavas Aveda, there's a lav of lo samar al dam re'echa, and that's it, and that's the Isser of Nezek. Again, this is a lav, but you still have some of the weaknesses that this seems to not fully capture the idea, right? It's not just that you're not saving their money, it's that you're destroying their money through your animal or your actions or somehow. So again, there's some conceptual weakness. It's almost a step removed. It's not as strong as you want it to be, but I think this very much would work and would apply, certainly the way the Rambam presents it here. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. If we wanted to try, and we're not going to try this, because if you notice, there were like four or five sources that the Rambam seems to hold. If you wanted to have like a unified theory of the Rambam on the Isra Lahazik, we seem to have too many Isurim. It's a good question. I don't think we're going to solve it today. It is possible that the Rambam would say, yeah, you violate all these different Isurim. You're Mevato, all these Assays, you violate all these Los Assays. It could be the Rambam has more than one, you know, you can do a lot of things wrong when you do one thing wrong. But yeah, that'd be a good question to try to pinpoint the Rambam's view if we wanted to do that. Okay, so now, and the hope was to get to the Gemara further, but I'm not sure how much time we'll have. At least we'll close out this part of the shir. The Chassam Sofer has a very interesting idea as well. And in some sense, he's building on the Rashba that we saw earlier, source number 3. The Rashba that seemed to say that we treat this like an Isser. Right? We treat Safek L'chumra by Nezek because it's compared to an Isser. So the Chassam Sofer is talking within that realm. And we'll just start with the final line in the first paragraph in source 14. And he says, generally speaking, Safek Mamona Lakula, Afal Pi de Kol Mamona Isbe Isura. Right? He has a whole calculation as to why what we said before. Safek in Mamon is Lakula, right? Hamotz Mechaber Lavaraya. Therefore, if it's not clear whether I stole something from you or not, we'll say, well, you know, when in doubt, Hamotz Mechaber Lavaraya, leave things where they are unless you prove otherwise. And he says that's true, even though it's not just money, right? There's an Isser here, potentially. Maybe you stole. If you stole, that's an Isser d'oraisa. Why don't we say Safek d'oraisa l'chumra? He has a whole calculation about why by Mamonos that's not true. But Nezikin is going to be different. Amnam ben Nezikin, milzach risihi. It's a different story. De'ikar inyan Nezikin, he geder le'mitzvas asei, u'shmartem me'od l'nafsho seichem. By which I think he means, v'nishmartem me'od l'nafsho seichem, which is the pasuk presumably he's referring to, v'et al tamod al dam re'echa. He quotes two different psukim. One we just saw in the Rambam, lo samod al dam re'echa, and he throws him in nishmartem al nafsho seichem, to be careful for your life. How? What does that mean? It's a geder. The laws of the Zikin are a geder. They're a protective fence around these mitzvos. Right? We say it's prohibited, or we say if your out's damages, you have to pay back, as a way of causing people to not do dangerous things. What does he mean? Same idea. You will have blood on your hands if you do things that are dangerous. Hashem figured out in his great wisdom. Hashem did this calculation. You know, shor, bor, ma, vehever, how much should they each be chayev? If you create a system exactly like the halachic system we have, shor, right, shor, tam is chayev, half shor, muad is chayev, full, etc. If you did that, nigdar hadavar, the matter is then fenced in. You've built a secure fence, so to speak. V'chol echad yishmor nizakav. Everyone will watch, will guard their possible damages. So that's the claim here. Now think about this. How would we refer to this in like contemporary legal theory or economic theory? This is what we call an incentive structure, right? Hashem figured out the ideal incentive structure for how to run the world. If you just said damage things, you pay a lot, you pay more, you paid less. If it was any different than the halachic system, things would be out of whack. There wouldn't be the right equilibrium. But Hashem b'chachmaso, says the Chassam Sofer, figured out precisely how much to be mechayev, in what case, such that the world would work smoothly. People wouldn't take unnecessary risks, and people wouldn't be unnecessarily chayev if they did things. But the imanu misupakim, if we're unsure, im karen mechubar dailo b'shmiras tam, o b'shmiras muad, sveiko lahachmir, if, however, we're not sure, right, this is the Rashba, the Rashba's not sure how to interpret this case of the distinction between Karen Mechubar, Karen not Mechubar, is the horn attached to the animal when it gores or not? We're not sure. In whatever case, we should, when in doubt, be safe. Play it safe. Why? Because what's at stake here is whether the world we live in is safe or not. What's at stake here is, he mentions, Nishmartim ol nafsho seichem, lo samal adam re'echa, v'hayalach adamim. The question isn't, it isn't just, are people going to damage things? It's, is it safe to walk in the streets? And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the calculation that if you say shor tam is chayev this amount, shor mu'ud is chayev that amount, then it's safe to walk in the streets. But if it's any less than what Hashem wanted, it's then going to be unsafe to walk in the streets. You didn't build the proper incentive structure, and there's this disequilibrium, and it's now unsafe. That's why you have to be machmir, not because it's an isser, and not because it's an isser of monetary things. Usually, an isser mamoni, you would say safek is lakula. But because the ultimate goal here is to have a safe society. So if you're not sure, what did the Torah want? Did the Torah want me to be machmir or mekil? You better say machmir, in order to make sure that the world we live in is safe. Really a fascinating theory. Right. V'chein kol mash anu mesupakim mekavanas hakra tzrichim lehachmir misafek isur. We have to be machmir safek isur of nishmart b'lav shasechem olsam adam reyacha amnam shuv kol safek shenolat achar kachem haya masek kach o kach im halach geploni o geploni v'zeaz linan lekula l'nitba kol safek mamona alfagav de'isbe isur kanal v'alsi shapir divir rashba. This is all when you're setting up the system, right? Just like the Rashba, he's trying to figure out, in this case, what does the Torah want? Does the Torah want to say that if it's Karen, not Mechubar, are we more Machmir by Tam, would be more Mekil by Muad? Before you know the rules, you have to be very stringent to make sure that the basic rules in place are safe enough. When you're implementing the rules, once you figure them out, when you're implementing the rules, then you say Safek in Mamonos is Lekula. Why? Because the rules are already in place. The world already functions in a safe way. Once you figured out the right rules, and when in doubt, we're machmir. Implementing them, that's, you know, case by case basis. You're not going to undermine the fundamental nature of reality. You're not going to make the streets unsafe if you're making an implementation. So that's he threads the needle here in finding a distinction between coming up with the rules where you have to be machmir and applying the rules where you have to be makel. Fascinating logic, and you know he comes up with the idea of incentive structure, I think, before economists do, which is interesting. What do we take out of this? He's very clear, right? Well, he's clear to some degree. He says he doesn't quite tell us what the Isser Lahazik is directly, but he tells us what it's a geder around, right? It's a fence around all of these prohibitions about danger. And I don't think he's using lo samar al dam reyecha the way the Rambam is. He's using lo samar al dam reyecha in the sense of it being unsafe. If it's unsafe, we want to make sure that things are safe. And that's why we have all of these laws of Nezikin. So for the Chassam Sofer, he doesn't quite give a pasuk for why it's usher to be mazik, but he tells us what the ultimate goal is. It's a geder, it's a fence. We're trying to protect the possibility of being able to walk in the streets safely. So just to take a step back and summarize what we've seen today. So again, we saw a few sources that talk about there being an Isser, and we saw, you know, what those Issurim are. Once we got to the Psukim, we saw the Isser of Gneva / Gzela that was in the Prisha and Rabbeinu Yonah. We saw this idea of Reb Chaim, of Velo Yishmerenu Be'alav, right, that sort of coming up with this Isser based on implications of the Psukim, that if you're not watching your ox, you're therefore Chayev, which we said has very strong implications, because even if you're not actually chayev for the damage that happened, the fact that you didn't watch is itself bad enough. We had a couple of weaker versions of the Isser that are, again, still pinpointed to our sorts of cases, that either the positive obligation of Hashavas Aveda, including saving someone's field when there's a flood, certainly causing the flood, or your animals causing the damage would be a problem, and then the flip side of that, Lo Samar Al Dam Reyecha, where that's an alav, the prohibition against standing idly by and allowing damage to happen. Certainly, if your animals caused that damage, you'd be responsible. We said both of those cases are a bit weaker than we'd like. They don't seem to blame you as a damager. They're just saying you didn't intervene, you didn't help. But it's more than not helping. You did something wrong, presumably. So those seemed a bit weak. And then the Chassam Sofer, who doesn't tell us what the Isser of Nezek is. And maybe according to the Chassam Sofer, there is no Isser of causing Nezek, but it's a geder. It's a protection around the idea that we want the world to be safe. And if you create these incentive structures, we'll have a safe world. Just to quickly mention a few nafkaminas that we've seen along the way in terms of is there an Isser Lahazik or not, the most basic one that we've been talking about throughout is if you're mazik al menas l'shalim, and I have this on the bottom of page 2, if you damage with the goal of paying back, right, you're happy to pay back, can you damage or not? Well, if there's an Isser, then no. If there's no Isser, then yes. We haven't really seen anyone come out and say, we saw last time the Ma'arit sort of said it, but maybe even he thinks there's an Isser Durabanan. So it's hard to actually say that you're allowed to damage something with the goal of paying back, but that theoretically is the question of what's at stake, right? Is it Asr Doraisa? Is it Asr Durabanan? Is it Alav? Is it Nase to damage with the intent to pay back? Another possible Nafkamina is Chiyuv in a case of Ones Gomer. We saw this quickly before. If something is really totally out of your responsibility, according to some views, the Ramban says you're chayev anyway. If something's totally out of your, you know, adam mu'ud la'olam, even if it's ones gamur, you're still chayev, or at least even if it's ones, you're still chayev. Why? You didn't do anything wrong. You might say, well, true, you didn't do anything wrong, But there's a detachment between the Isser Lahazik and the Chiyav Lashali. Right? Even though you didn't do anything wrong, still you broke this person's thing due to no fault of your own. You still need to pay back. Potentially that's a nafkamina as to whether there's an Isser or not. The more you say that there's an Isser, if the Isser is built in to the Chiyav Lashali, you're less likely to say that you'd be Chayav in Onis Gamor. Reb Chaim mentioned explicitly the third nafkamina. Is the Mazik considered a Rasha? Right, he says explicitly, are you a bad person for not being Shomer your animal or not? Right, that, I don't know, there may be nachminas, I don't know, for Hilchos Edos, for all sorts of things, but just theologically to know, does the Torah consider you a bad person for not watching your animals or not? And then finally, the question of Safek, how to deal with Safek. So the Rashba said, if it's a Safek, we're Machmir, Ke'isur, which we said, well, maybe that means there's an actual Isser. Maybe that means there's an Isser Lahazik, that's why you have to be Machmir Ki Isurin. But we saw the Chassam Sofer explained it differently. Not that there is an Isser per se, but that it's a Geder around many Isurim, around the Isurim of ensuring public safety, and that's why you're Machmir. But in any event, there seems to be, whether according to the Rashba, whether you take it like saying there's an Isser, or take it like the Chassam Sofer, that it's protecting something else, that would be a reason to be Machmir in a case of Safek. Whereas on, I think, most of the theories here, unless you say there's a real lav, we'd say in a case of Suffolk, you'd be Mekil. Just one last word. You walk away from this and you say, okay, so what do I do now? There's like psukim all over the place. There's general psukim, there's specific psukim, deoraisas, some divrei sofrim, lav, asay. Why is there no clear source? It's still very unsettling. Why is there no clear source that says asur lahazik? It'd be very easy to have a pasuk just say something to that effect. And I think on some theories you have a better answer. If you really believe in Reb Chaim, so then the Torah did say that, right? The Torah, the whole Parshas Mishpatim is one big v'lo yishmerenu. It's all just saying you have an obligation to be shomer. But on most theories, and just the very fact that we have such a proliferation of theories, you walk away a bit unsettled. I think one way to think about this that may help, if we can compare this to electricity on Shabbos. Without, this is a theoretical discussion, so ask your local Rav, Sura Strouther. But right there's a big debate as to why it's usher to use electricity on Shabbos. Is it a deraisa? Is it a deraisa of bone? Is it eish? Is it makeh bepatish? Maybe it's a derabanan. It's some sort of gzera. It's a strong minhag. A lot of theories out there. At the end of the day, everyone's going to tell you can't possibly use electricity on Shabbos. Right? If you have a posting who says you can use electricity on Shabbos, you shouldn't rely on that posting. Something went off the rail. Something's wrong, right? It's just clear. There's a clear intuition that this is not the way to go. And there may or may not be the clearest source. I think, in case of electricity, some theories think they found it. But, there's no consensus clear source. And similarly here, there's no consensus clear source. I think you do have a clear consensus, though, across the board. No one thinks it's mutter to be mazik something and then pay it later. It's definitely wrong. It's definitely usser. Why? That's a more complex question. But I think there is something stabilizing about the fact that we have a consensus about the fact that it's usser. Figure out what the reason is. Okay, that's a second order question. As long as everyone's on board that we're not going to go around being mazik each other's things, certainly I hope not. So next time we'll move forward in the Gemara on Daf Beis. But for now, hopefully we have a little bit of closure on our question of whether it's usser to be mazik and why, or at least a range of options.